Vaishnava Institute for Higher Education course in the Sri Brahma Samhita. And we pray to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakura, Srila Jiva Goswami, and all of the previous Vaishnavacharyas, and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and Lord Balaram, for their mercy, as well as to all the Vaishnavas, so that we will be able to imbibe these important instructions, hymns which were originally recited by Lord Brahma many, many millions of years ago. So we will give a little history. Talk a bit further. You want to sit here? You can come here. It's an empty seat. We'll give a brief history of the Brahma Samhita. It was originally found by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was... You don't have to pass the note yet. It was originally found by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured South India, and he went to the Adi Keshava temple in Trivandrum district of South India. And in this temple, he came across the manuscript of the Brahma Samhita. And in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, this is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He says, this is in Madhulila chapter 9, in the temple of Adi Keshava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed spiritual matters among highly advanced devotees. While there, he found a chapter of the Brahma Samhita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greatly happy to find the chapter of that scripture, and symptoms of ecstatic transformation, trembling, tears, perspiration, trance, and jubilation were manifest in his body. There's no scripture. Anyway, so this is a very extraordinary description, and as Subhananda Prabhu notes in the introduction, it's very unusual. We can't remember reading of an example of someone finding a scripture and going into such ecstatic trance. But the reason for this is that what Lord Chaitanya immediately recognized in this book is that this is a very authoritative scripture. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord, and he came to establish his philosophy of Achintaveda Veda Tattva, and specifically to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes we find that Krishna is considered to be an incarnation of Lord Narayan. Bhajan Prabhu, please grace one of these seats. Make way for the headmaster. I hope that won't happen. In the Vedic times, they used to have pundits and Brahmins who would check everything to make sure there was no fault. So I'm surrounded by such personalities. So Lord Chaitanya specifically wanted to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and pure devotional service to him, specifically that service which is rendered by Srimati Radharani and her associates as the topmost of all truths. When he read this scripture, he went into ecstasy because he saw in it confirmation of his mission. And it was confirmed by the most authoritative source of all, the person who whose sampradaya he had come in, Lord Brahma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, of course, in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So he became very, very happy to see that the founder Acharya of our Sampradaya had already expressed all of these truths in writing. So as was the custom at the time, he had one person copy everything down by hand, and he brought it back to Puri, where he began to distribute this literature. And it's described also in the Chaitanya Chaitanya that he distributed it to all of his intimate associates, and they also became very much pleased to read the Brahma Samhita. And eventually it became established as a foremost literature. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states this in the following ways. There is no scripture equal to the Brahma Samhita as far as the final spiritual conclusion is concerned. Indeed, that scripture is the supreme revelation of the glories of Lord Govinda, for it reveals the topmost knowledge about him. Since all conclusions are briefly presented in Brahma Samhita, it is essential among all the Vaishnava literatures. The word brief has its Sanskrit equal in the word sutra. So these are actually sutras. There are 62 sutras. Sutra means a very compact series of statement, a very compact and concise statement which expresses a great truth within it. Altogether, the Brahma Samhita has 100 chapters, and this Brahma Samhita that we're studying is chapter 5. The other 99 are no longer available. Now, it is said that this particular chapter that we are studying is itself very special, because as we will see in the first verse which we're going to look at today, the first verse is called the Paribhasa Sutra. And in this first verse, which is a very famous verse, I think many of you may have memorized it, Ishvara Paramakrishna Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. How many people know that verse? Practically everybody. So, that verse is called a Paribhasa Sutra. This is a bit. You want me to write this word? I don't know where the diacritic marks come, but anyway, Paribhasa Sutra. Now, a Paribhasa Sutra is defined as follows. Anyway, I didn't bring my other book, but I can give it to you. Basically, what it is. Paribhasa Sutra is a statement which comes at the beginning of a scripture, somewhere in the beginning of a scripture, and it states the purpose of the entire scripture in a few words. And it governs all the other statements and verses which will come later on in the scripture. So the verse, Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam, is the Paribhasa Sutra for the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. That means the first verse, within it we will find the essence of all the other verses of the Brahma Samhita. And similarly, the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita is considered to be the Paribhasa Sutra for all the other chapters. This is stated in the commentary in Sanskrit by Jiva Goswami. So, the first verse is the conclusive truth about the whole chapter, the fifth chapter, and the fifth chapter are all condensed verses which give the essence of all the others. Now, regarding the Paribhasa Sutra, there is a statement which explains what the Paribhasa Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam is. The Srimad Bhagavatam and the Brahma Samhita have much in common. As stated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in the foreword, he says, this booklet can easily be compared with another book which passes by the name of Srimad Bhagavatam. Though it has got a reference in the pantheon of Puranas, the Bhagavatam corroborates the same idea as this Pancharatra. The Bhagavatam Paribhasa Sutra is another famous verse, Ete Chamsa Kalaha Pungsa, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Sayam. First canto, third chapter, text number 28. That's a very, very important verse. And it is stated by Jiva Goswami that verse of the Bhagavatam governs the entire Srimad Bhagavatam's 18,000 verses. In other words, all of the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam are meant to establish Krishna Stu Bhagavan Sayam. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. So again, we see in this verse of Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhya Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Which is, we can read the translation. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. So we can just summarize briefly the statements which are given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in the first verse purport. First of all, that Krishna has an eternal name, form, qualities, and pastimes. The term Krishna has been very nicely explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written a commentary on the Gopaltapani Upanishad. This Gopaltapani Upanishad is another very important scripture because, again, it also describes Upanishads are part of the original Vedas. So Lord Chaitanya and his associates were always searching searching through the Vedic literatures to corroborate their philosophy of presentation, which was that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So this Gopaltapani Upanishad is very important for us because it establishes many conclusive truths about the Supreme Lord Krishna. And in it, it describes the name Krishna. The word Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence. And Na means spiritual pleasure. When the verb Krish is added to the affix Na, it becomes Krishna, which indicates the absolute truth. The name Krishna may also be interpreted to mean the perfection of transcendental knowledge and bliss. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati states that persons may be disturbed when they hear that the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person. Especially nowadays, we know that the world is full of impersonalism. As soon as we state that God is Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha, the word Vigraha means a form, that he has a form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, the immediate reply that we get from so many scholars, etc., is, why are you limiting God by giving him a form? As will be seen from the Brahma Samhita, the form of Krishna does not in any way limit him. We will, rather than go on now to explain how, but we will see gradually how his form is unlimited. Every morning when we are in the temple room, we pray, Angani yasya sakalendriya vriti manti, that all of the different parts of Krishna's transcendental form can perform the function of any other part. We also know that Krishna is all-pervading. He is everywhere, as we will see in another verse in Bhagavad Gita, in the Brahma Samhita, that Krishna is extending his potencies everywhere. And at the same time, he maintains a medium-sized form. In the Brahma Samhita, when it's described that the Lord has a medium-sized form, it means his form is like that of a human. Medium-sized should be understood to mean like that of a human. But not a human. It's described in the Ishopanishad that he has no veins. So he doesn't have the type of body that you or I have. His body is completely spiritual. Other things are brought out by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati also in the purport, that Krishna acts through his potencies. This is another point. When we say Sarva Karana Karanam, that he's the cause of all causes, we should understand that God does everything which he does with the assistance of his various potencies. So again, there's a school of philosophers that do not understand how God is to be understood with his potencies. And they only try to understand him minus his potencies. So for that reason, they see the personality of Krishna and they don't understand what is behind Krishna or what is assisting Krishna. Just like if we see a person, say the President of the United States. So he looks like an ordinary person. But we know that behind him is the U.S. Treasury, the U.S. Armed Forces. You know, there's such a gigantic energy going on behind the President that if we want to understand the position of the President, we can only understand him in relationship with all of his potencies or all of his powers, say powers. In the same way, if we really want to understand Krishna and how powerful and all-potent he is, then we have to understand thoroughly his potencies. So this is another thing which will gradually be discussed in the Brahma Samhita. The different types of potencies. That the Lord has his spiritual potencies, which are divided in various ways. He has his material potencies. He has the marginal potency, which are the living entities. And all of these taken together spell out the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Brahma Samhita will make a very complete presentation to us of the picture of God. Another thing which the Brahma Samhita will describe is the abode of the Lord and the pastimes which are manifested on the Supreme Abode. In order to understand God's kingdom, we have to understand the difference between the manifest and the unmanifest, or non-manifest. What is before us here is manifest. This room, these walls, the floor. But there is another realm of existence which is also manifest, but because we cannot see it, we call it non-manifest, but it exists. Just like the scientists, when they look in a microscope, they can see that there's a whole world, which to our naked eye we cannot see. So we may say, when we're looking, you know, at our hand, we just see skin and hairs and wrinkles. But when a scientist looks with the help of a microscope, they see cells and so many things going on within these cells. So there's another world which requires, for a scientist, because he has a particular ability to change his vision with the help of a microscope. In the same way, the great devotees of the Lord, they change their vision. And that will be described in the Brahma Samhita. They change their vision with the help of bhakti, or devotion. And with the help of this devotional eye, they're able to see a completely spiritual and eternal realm that is simultaneously present with this material realm. And that spiritual realm, where God exists eternally, where Krishna is always present, is going to be described in detail in the Brahma Samhita. So another wonderful feature of the Brahma Samhita is that it gives us a detailed picture of the kingdom of God. Practically, when you read any scripture of the world today, you will not find that there is very much information about the kingdom of God. But in Brahma Samhita, you will get a very intimate picture of what is going on in God's kingdom. The pastimes or activities which he performs, who his associates are, as Prabhupada says in common parlance, you will know everything about God, including his name and address. At the same time as you know the spiritual world, the Brahma Samhita also presents us a picture of the material world. And there's a section of the Brahma Samhita which is devoted to the creation, the process of creation. How the creation takes place from the beginning of the will of God to the very extended manifestation of the material creation in terms of the material elements. So these are described in a step-by-step progression in the Brahma Samhita. And after the creation takes place, how is the creation maintained? So maintenance is also there. If anyone knows, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's 10 basic categories which are explained. 10 subject matters, principal subject matters of the Bhagavatam. And all 10 of these are explained in a very nutshell form in the Brahma Samhita. So, why study the Brahma Samhita? One of the very best reasons is that if you can master the subject matter of the Brahma Samhita, you will have a type of index in your mind of all of the important siddhantas, all the important philosophical conclusions, which you have to know. You'll have them in an index form of 62 verses. And by having that index within your mind, whenever you read the Bhagavatam, whenever you read Bhagavad Gita, you'll be able to remember where this subject matter also fits in the Brahma Samhita. And then if you have some information and have learned something from about that subject in the Brahma Samhita, you'll be able to apply it. So sometimes devotees have difficulty in putting together the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And for this reason we see the Bhurijan Prabhu is teaching Bhagavad Gita overview, or Dhanadharma is teaching nectar devotion overview, because while studying a book, we tend to, you know, focus on only one section and we lose the thread of how the whole thing fits together. What to speak of an overview of all the books? Imagine if you could, you know, teach, what would that be called? Brahma Samhita, right? That, in a sense, that's what this is. It is an overview of all the philosophy gathered together from the various literatures, and you'll see that. So it'll be very helpful for you in tying together the knowledge which you are gaining from reading various of Prabhupada's books. Now, we can say a little bit about the language of the Brahma Samhita. Actually, instead of us saying, we will read a statement by Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was asked about writing something, some purports for the Brahma Samhita. Someone said to him that, Srila Prabhupada, we have difficulty in understanding Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Have any of you ever had that same experience? Prabhupada said, yes. He said, yes. Even if there is some difficulty, let them read over and over again. Very important. The best way to read Brahma Samhita is you read it over and over again. Then they will understand. Let it be presented, he said, why should we change it? Let it be presented as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has given. Don't give them more than one or two pages at a time. I will try to keep to that. Of course, because of the shortness of the course, you may get a few more than that. Their brain will be puzzled. Prabhupada says, when Guru Maharaj, when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was speaking, this is when Prabhupada himself was hearing his Guru Maharaj speak, at least my brain was puzzled. Even he would speak in Bengali, it was very difficult to understand him. So it's not, this is an important point. If you think that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's English is difficult to understand, Prabhupada said his Bengali was equally difficult. And Prabhupada's native tongue was Bengali. What does it mean? It means that the language is not the problem as much as the subject matter. So the approach that this course will take is not to try to disentangle the various complex sentence structures, but to explain the subject matter. Our idea is that if you can understand the subject matter that is contained within the verses and purports, then by approaching the purports and very carefully, scrutinizingly reading them, we feel that you will be able to gradually understand everything. But not just by one reading. This is not a book for light reading. It's a book for careful study. So our approach will be that we will be teaching different subjects which are contained within each verse and purport. And if you learn from this class the subject matter, then when you approach the verses of the book and the purports, we feel that the meaning will unfold to you. Prabhupada said that Bhakti Siddhanta was speaking from a very, very high platform, but I wanted to hear him, that's all. Even I did not understand it. That he appreciated. That this boy does not go away. This is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said about Prabhupada. He said, this boy does not go away. He hears. Actually, that was my position. In the beginning, I could not understand what he was speaking. But I wanted to hear him. That's all. I was very much anxious to hear him. And that he marked. And he was kindly pleased on me. He wants to hear. He does not go away. That was my policy. Let me hear. Even I do not understand, let me hear. That's all. Actually, I did not understand in the beginning what he was speaking. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's writing is not very easy to understand. But we should try. Read and read again. And simply that vibration will help us. That's all. It is transcendental vibration, not that everyone will understand. Another point is that, as we will see, this subject matter is understood when one receives special benediction from Krishna and Krishna's potency, Srimati Radharani, and the internal spiritual potency. So there has to be a certain degree of prayer in regard to understanding this subject matter. In other words, it cannot be approached merely by academic scholarship, because the subject matter requires a certain degree of faith, and faith, although you may say that immediately that doesn't sound very scientific, we know that faith is involved in practically every single feature of life. Day, you know, where there's traffic, to you name it, just waking up in the morning requires a certain amount of faith because there's so many dangers involved. So faith is there in what we learn, faith is there in what we do, faith is there in all relationships. Some degree of faith in Krishna must be there. And faith is developed through service to Krishna, through bhakti. So we request you all that the more you devote yourself in this month to Krishna Seva, that means to chanting nicely your rounds, to living in the Dham in a very perfect way, always offering obeisances, touching your head in the dust of the Dham, offering obeisances to the Vaishnavas, seeing the deity, trying to do some service for the deity, associating and serving the Vaishnavas. All of these things will, in a very, not indirect, but in a very direct way, help you to understand the subject matter. This is for devotees. Lord Chaitanya brought this book back for the devotees. So it is not simply for academicians. It is especially meant for devotional academics. In other words, if you can be an academician, but then Prabhupada says, why don't the logicians apply their intelligence to understanding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mission and his mercy? If they want to see the most super excellent form of this absolute truth, then let them approach the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all logic and reason, but not dry logic and reason. Logic and reason which is also infused with devotion. Prabhupada speaking further, he says, if you simply give oral reception to this vibration, that will make you advanced. Not exactly that anyone has to understand it. Just like a man is sleeping and somebody is calling him. In his sleeping condition, he does not understand. By calling, 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 he gets up because that vibration is there. Not that in his sleeping condition he is understanding what is the sound which is coming. So similarly, is a very nice example, which we all have experience of. We're sleeping and someone is calling our name. Actually, we don't hear in the beginning. But by the person calling, 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 slowly the sound vibration enters, and we wake up, and then we look around, and we remember, oh, I came to Vrindavan, I'm in Vrindavan, it's time to go see Krishna Balaram, come to the courses, I have to take a bath, it's cold, but it doesn't matter. And gradually everything returns to our memory. In the same way, when we hear Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's words, even if at first we don't understand, if we just hear them again and again, gradually they will wake up our sleeping consciousness and it will all start to fit together. Actually, Prabhupada says, similarly, we should give reception to the transcendental vibrations made by Krishna and his bona fide representatives. That will make us awakened. Not that we understand everything. It will simply wake us up. It doesn't matter. This is a very nice point. In academic subjects, one has to understand each and every little detail of a subject matter. But here, Prabhupada says you have to wake up. The only purpose for understanding the details is to wake up. And when you wake up and your love for Krishna is invoked and revived, that is the purpose of understanding the details. Not simply, you know, putting together more and more pieces of information. The purpose is to revive our love for Krishna. So that will happen by the very act. Just like when we used to go to lectures by Prabhupada in India, sometimes Prabhupada would lecture in Hindi, and he would never let us leave. And when we couldn't speak Hindi, and Prabhupada would be speaking in Hindi or speaking in Bengali, and he would make us sit there, and we would sit there for 1 hour. And Prabhupada would say, the vibration is purifying. Just by sitting, the vibration will purify you. And actually, we increase our faith in Prabhupada simply by following that instruction and sitting there. And by our faith in Prabhupada increasing, by faith in Guru increasing, yasya prasada bhagavat, and then automatically, our love for Krishna was further increased. So we should take Prabhupada's words as he has said them and have faith that gradually, by the mercy of Krishna, we will be able to understand the subject matter. It's interesting that Prabhupada says representatives. This purport written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is actually a more or less a translation of his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's purports. You'll see in the beginning it states, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati writes in his foreword, he says like this, Thakur Bhaktivinoda has given an elucidatory purport of the conception of the most sublime fountainhead of all entities in Bengali. And one of his devout followers has rendered that into English for propagatory purpose. So you can understand who is the devout follower? Who? His son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So this is a translation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bengali purports. And what are Bhaktivinoda Thakur's purports? The purports and the translations are traced to the backgrounds of the writings of Srila Jiva Goswami, a contemporary follower of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur more or less wrote in Bengali more or less the same exact purports which 500 years ago, or say 400 years ago at that time, his predecessor, Acharya, Jiva Goswami, had written in Sanskrit. Jiva Goswami is considered the foremost scholar without compare. And his purports are in Sanskrit. So what we have today in English is practically the version of Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami was the nephew and practically a disciple of Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatan Goswamis. So Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis are the principal disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what we're hearing today is coming from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The absolute truth is coming down into cyclic succession in this way. So, now what I want to do is pass out to you the syllabus which we will be covering this semester. Are there some additional ones? Arjuna told me that he would have more, but he's now gone. What to do? No, but why don't we find out where Arjuna ran off to? Can someone go, Narayan, just go to Arjuna and say, where are the others? We'll pass these out. Just take one. Pass back. Take one and pass it back. Whoops. Take the bottom one for the tour. That way. We'll get some more. He printed up some more, as far as I know. I hope. pass back so the ladies get some. Three pages. Who doesn't have a Brahma Samhita? All right, when you finish, when the class finishes, you come up and get a copy. Can we get some, now some, just pass a few back so the ladies get a few, please. You all have them, just pass them back. They got so many copies. I know he duplicated them. Just pass a few back for the ladies. Now, but where is he? What is this? He took it this morning. He took it last night, I think. Where is he? Huh? What should I do? These are...
Right after the class, go to his room.
So what do you want everybody to do?
Pick them up there.
If you didn't get one, you picked them up. You picked them up. Anyway, we'll read this. It says, Sri Brahma Samhita, fifth chapter, consists of 62 texts. You are expected to prepare detailed notes on the specific texts assigned each day. The following list should help direct your attention to the major topics covered in each of the texts and should provide a basis for your notes. The lectures will also follow the outline of these topics, and during the class time you may take further notes of the supplementary information provided. It is important that your notes be detailed to help you prepare for the two examinations, one at mid-semester covering the first half of the text, and the other at the semester's end covering the balance. The grade that you receive will be based on an average of your two examination scores with due consideration of class participation. So, for example, tomorrow's assignment will be for you to read the... You can read the foreword and the first text and the second text and the third text. Foreword plus three texts. Now, if you look, we can go just briefly through the outline and see how the subject matter of the Brahma Samhita is. The first text we covered today is called the Paribhasa Sutra, right? The preamble. The second text and the third text and the fourth text describes Krishna's abode. Second, third, and fourth texts describe Krishna's supreme abode. In the fifth text, we read about Dwarka and Mathura and Dwarka. The Vaikuntha abode. In text 6, it's the prelude to the material creation. And material creation goes all the way from text 7 through text 20. It actually even goes a little further, but you can see a large part is devoted to material creation. Then in text 21, and this is also describing material creation, but the role that the jivas play. And then text 22 describes the birth of Lord Brahma and how Brahma received spiritual instruction and initiation, which led to composing these hymns or prayers. So that's in text 22 all the way through text 28. In text 29 is the beginning, which we heard Prabhupada chanting, Chintamani Prakata Sadmasu, that nice song that Prabhupada sings and that we all chant. The Chintamani prayers begin on text 29 with a description of the kingdom of God, Chintamani Dham. And text 30 describes Krishna and his beauty. 31 describes Krishna's pastimes in general. 32 describes Krishna or God's form. 33 describes God's nature. 34 describes how to attain the Lord. 35 describes his inconceivable potencies. And 36 describes the different types of devotion that one may have in achieving understanding and love for God. Finally, in text 37, the relationship known as Sringara Ras, the conjugal loving relationship with Krishna, is described. Where's that lamp? I don't know how much you're going to see now. But they tell me that there's a generator. It will always fail. The power will always fail at this time. But we have been assured by the management that there is someone standing by the generator. We will now see how long it takes them.
Standing in great fear.
Anyway, we will see that sweetness surpasses fear and awe. And the Brahma Samhita, that will be demonstrated. I was just writing about that today. Then, text 38, more about devotion to Krishna. And text 39 is about Krishna and the incarnations. Text 40 describes Krishna and how he is the basis of the impersonal conception of the various philosophers who have an impersonal conception of God, and how behind that is the personal conception. So you can see texts 29 through 40 more or less describe all about the details about Krishna, his kingdom, his form, his pastime. Now you can see why Lord Chaitanya considered this such an important scripture. 41, more about Krishna. 42, Krishna's glorious pastimes. Then text 43 describes the different realms, beginning from the material world that we're in, all the way up to the highest realm, the kingdom of God. Each one of these is described and compared. Then text 44 and onwards describes the various important demigods who are helping Krishna to maintain the material creation, beginning with Durga, then Lord Shiva, then Ananta Shesh is not a demigod, but he's described. Then the Mahavishnu and Brahma, Ganesh, all of these, Surya, the sun god, everything is described. Finally, in text 53 we come, and 54 is description of how karma works. Because at this point in the Brahma Samhita, there it is preparing us for the actual practicing of it. The description of how to practice Krishna consciousness, how to practice devotional service. So the preparation leading up to that description is first of all to explain how the living entity becomes entangled in karma. So that is described here in text 53. Then how to get free from karma is described in 54. Then how to perform Vaidhi Bhakti, the regulative practices of devotional service, in 55, followed by Raganuga Bhakti, or spontaneous devotion to the Lord.
55D is Raganuga Bhakti?
55D is, Kamanuga Bhakti. 55C is Raganuga Bhakti, and D is Kamanuga Bhakti. It says Kamanuga Bhakti, but you changed it.
I thought it might be a mistake.
Then, starting in 58, the last five verses are specific instructions. Lord Brahma concludes his prayers, and Krishna gives Brahma specific instructions on how to raise himself to the level of prema bhakti, or love of God. So that begins in text 58. First is a description of sambandha abhideya and prayojana tattva, which means our relationship, establishing our relationship with Krishna, and then the process by which we can nourish that relationship, and finally how to achieve the goal of that relationship, love of God. These are described in 58. 59 describes the process of uttam bhakti, and we especially focus on nam tattva. How uttama means the highest, how the highest bhakti can be achieved through cultivation of chanting the holy name. In text 60, finally, the goal of all, prema bhakti, love of God, is described.
Then in 61, and 61 is called Gona Dharma, which means for us who are not yet in the stage of exalted devotional service, what are those activities which we can do, which although they may not be directly pure devotional service, are nevertheless helpful. There are many things which you'll see that we can do and which we do, and it will be discussed in this text what the position of such activities are. That's not so bad. 5 minutes. Finally, in text 62, the conclusion is Achinta Veda Veda Tattva, the philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference, that Krishna and the living entity are one and different, that Krishna and this material creation are also one in the sense that the material energy is his energy, but yet there's a vast difference. There's also a difference between the living entity and the material creation. Oneness and difference. How everything is one, and yet everything is different. That philosophy is finally explained at the end, text 62, and Lord Brahma then is wished, you know, he is given blessings and given well wishes by Lord Krishna so that he can carry on the process of creation and as well carry on the process of liberation. Because Brahma, as we will see, not only is the creator God, but he is also a great teacher of transcendental knowledge. So we will stop here and ask if anyone has any questions or about. Today was simply an introductory class. We'll try to leave at least some of the time, maybe a third of the class or a quarter of the class or more if necessary, for discussion, because there are many advanced Vaishnavas in attendance, and we would like to hear from them. Yes, Karma Prabhu.
Could you give us some clues as to...
My advice is to read about once or twice if you have time. I think you will have time because it's not many pages. If you can read once or twice, first of all, look at the outline and see how I have focused in on the topics which will be in the particular text and purport. Then read the text and purport and try to see how those topics are expanded upon in the text and purport. And try your best to get a clear understanding of them. If you like, you can also, I would suggest, try to take notes based upon these. This is an outline. So using these as the principal topics within the outline, try to take notes of what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying about each of these topics in your own words. There's no need to just copy his words. Try to explain it in your own words. Then when you come to class, I will try to further explain everything. And if you get a clear understanding, if you hear something which you find is important, you can add that into your outline, and then I would suggest that the next day when you're studying for the next verses, you might like to just go back and read the previous day's text and purports and see if everything is much clearer to you. So I would suggest that each day you reread the previous day's verses just to see if you've understood more deeply then. And therefore when you make notes, you may want to keep these topic headings and then write your own points under each one and then leave some more room so that you can fill in further information which you get during the class. And that way you'll have some type of a systematic outline.
Lord Brahma has spoken of it in the second verse. Does this mean that Vyasadeva has actually written down the text? Or I was wondering where the actual...
Anyone answer that question? Is Vyasadeva the person who actually wrote down the Brahma Samhita text? Well, Vyasadeva didn't write. In any case, Ganesh is said to be the writer. Brahma, it's described that he spoke these hymns. Can anyone
Whenever it's never mentioned in the list of works by Vyasadeva.
Our panel of scholars is stumped. Good beginning. At least that shows, because even in the Bhagavatam, there's one statement by Lord Shiva where he says that even I and Brahma cannot understand the subject matter of the creation. So, some things we may be stumped by. This question, for example. But in any case, we should let us accept that Brahma is the author of these hymns. How they got into their written form, he may have put them in their written form. It doesn't say who the person who wrote them down is. But he is the one who composed the verses. So perhaps he must have put them in writing. It doesn't say that he had a scribe. I think we just take it at that face value that he's the compiler.
It says right on the back of the book, for since origins and attachment of Brahma are lost in cosmic iniquity.
That's probably why we couldn't figure it out. Even the publishers are stumped on that. Everyone was stumped. Any other comments, questions?
When we do fire jagas, it's generally we recite from verse 29 through, I think, 56. 56, is there any relevance on why those particular verses?
Yeah, because these verses are all glorifying Krishna or Govinda. So everything, yajna means sacrifice, yajna vai Vishnu. Sacrifice is meant for the pleasure of Krishna, the original Vishnu. As the beginning to dedicate the sacrifice, we recite these verses, which are meant to glorify Krishna as the dedication, part of the dedication ceremony. That this sacrifice is specifically meant for satisfying Krishna and not anyone else. When you satisfy Krishna, all the demigods are pleased. So this is not a yajna to satisfy any demigod as much as it is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. And these prayers were very much favored by Prabhupada. So much so that every morning when we greet the deities, we all recite Brahma Samhita. Very special position accorded to this text. I hope that you'll all be wide awake by the end of the day each day, after going through so many courses. Let us say, Burijan at least looks exhausted.
No. It's a certain particular type of ecstasy.
I should have known it as such.
You're talking about the Paribhasa Sutra. Where's the reference that explains the Bhagavatam verse, Itacham Sakala Pumsa?
In the Krishna Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. I meant to bring it. Tomorrow I will bring it. I believe it's in the Krishna Sandarbha.
Is Paribhasa Sutra the same thing as Mahavakya?
Mahavakya?
Because that same verse is said by Jiva Goswami to be in Mahavakya.
Then it is. But the Mahavakya is described also in Lord Chaitanya's meeting with the sannyasis in Benares, the subject of the Mahavakya. The Mahavakya means a principle, yeah, it is like a principle statement, principle theme. Yeah, so you can say.